Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Tammy, what are you doing in the teens department? Jillian called to her friend. Are you checking on what's in store when Carrie gets older? Oh, I wish, sighed Tammy. I'm really checking on training bras. You're kidding. Jillian's jaw dropped. But Carrie's only 8 years old. Isn't that jumping the gun a bit? Tammy shook her head. You should see her. She's getting embarrassed just to wear her T-shirts, and I don't want her to refuse to go to gymnastics or other activities because she's concerned about how she looks. Good grief. Jillian put her arm around Tammy's shoulder. I just can't believe it. Whatever happened to childhood? From a parent's perspective, what should we know about early puberty? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today has visited with Parents' Perspective before. Dr. Paul Kaplowitz is chief of endocrinology at the Children's National Medical Center and is a professor of pediatrics at the George Washington University School of Medicine and the Health Sciences. He's the author of over 50 scientific papers and review articles, mostly in the areas of short stature, growth hormone deficiency, and precocious and delayed puberty. He has also written two books for parents, Early Puberty in Girls and The Short Child. He's the father of two grown sons and grandfather of two children as well. Welcome back to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Kaplowitz.
It's nice to be here.
We've been hearing lately about widespread cases of early onset puberty in the United States. How early is early?
Well, that depends on the definition you use. The traditional definition is that puberty in girls is too early if it starts before age 8, and in boys if you start before age 9. But one of the things that got this whole issue on the map was a study which came out over 10 years ago, which suggested that it's actually fairly common for girls to develop breast tissue or pubic hair before age 8, even as early as 6 or 7, particularly among African American girls. So I had proposed at the time that we might consider 7 as the age where puberty is too early, but most people still feel that any child who has signs of puberty before 8 should be evaluated.
Some articles have referred to this as an epidemic. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think we're certainly seeing more cases than we did 30 years ago, but I'm not sure that I would use the term epidemic because that makes it seem more alarming. I would call it a trend rather than an epidemic.
Epidemic sounds to me like something catching, and
right.
This certainly is not.
You mentioned that if a child shows signs of early puberty, the parents might want to have them evaluated. Two questions. First of all, can you describe early puberty? And second of all, what happens when you get a child evaluated?
There are really two different signs of early puberty that parents will notice, and they're actually quite different in terms of the hormones that are involved. The most reliable sign of puberty is early breast development, and that's due to increased estrogens coming from the ovaries. And it can be a sign that a child is maturing too quickly and may start to have periods before they're 10, but it can also be something transient. You can have a little bit of breast development, and then it can stop and then restart a year or two later. The other thing about early breast development that it's important to point out is that what looks like breast development to the parent is often just the fat tissue. We're seeing a lot more overweight girls nowadays, and many times I've seen girls that if you take a quick look, it would seem that it's, you know, breast development, but if you feel very carefully, you don't feel that firm tissue that indicates actual glandular breast development. It all is fat, and there's nothing alarming about that. The other sign of early puberty, and we probably see this even more than early breast development, is early pubic hair, often associated with underarm hair, and very frequently associated with underarm odor. And this reflects not estrogens, but secretion of androgens from the adrenal glands. These are weak male hormones coming from the adrenal glands. And that can start at any time during childhood, but it can start several years before breast development. So if you have a 6 or 7 year old girl with pubic hair and body odor, she may not start breast development for another 2 or 3 years. So it's important to make that distinction.
Okay, you have somebody that looks pretty suspiciously like maybe they're having early onset puberty, and they get an evaluation. What happens?
Well, what happens generally is that parents will take their child to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician will confirm, yep, there's pubic hair, or yes, I think there's breast development, and they'll recommend to the parent that their child be seen by an endocrinologist. And what happens kind of depends a little on who the endocrinologist is, because, for instance, if I were to see a child with early pubic hair and didn't see any other signs of puberty, I might be able to reassure the parents simply based on the history in my exam that this is a benign, normal variation that we call premature adrenarche, which means early increase in pubic or underarm hair without other signs of puberty. I've seen so many cases of that that I don't feel it's necessary to do x-rays and blood tests to make that diagnosis. Whereas another specialist might say, early pubic hair, need to rule out all these rare things that, you know, maybe occur 1 or 2% of the time. And so they might order a whole panel of blood tests and a bone age x-ray. So the kind of evaluation you get really is going to depend on which specialist that you see. But with a child with early breast development, one of the things that we look at a lot is the child's growth chart. Most children with early puberty tend to be taller than average, and that's fine, but if they're taller than average but are also growing at a rapid rate, like a child with early puberty who's grown 4 inches in the past year, that could indicate that they're already into their growth spurt, and that would obviously be a much more worrisome situation than the child who is a little tall but seems to be growing at their usual rate of about 2 inches a year. Try to evaluate the growth pattern as well as looking at, you know, breast development and pubic hair. And we also ask about the family history, because there clearly are some families where early maturation is a genetic pattern. You know, if the mother had their first period when they were 10, it's not at all unusual for the child to start having breast development around age 8, and that could be, although early for the population, could be very normal for that particular family.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on early puberty.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Paul Kaplowitz about early onset puberty.
Why did you say that a noticeably large growth spurt in the space of, say, 1 year would be worrisome?
Because estrogens are very potent stimulators of linear growth. And so if you see a little bit of breast development but no growth spurt, that might be a normal variation. But if you see progressive development with a growth spurt, that could be a sign that the child is really going through puberty at a very early age. Now, if this happens between age 8 and 9, we might say, well, it's a little early, but it's within the normal range. But if it happens at age 7, that the child is growing rapidly and breast development is progressing, that's a greater concern. Another thing parents need to keep in mind is that it's not at all unusual to see a little bit of breast development and then it stops. And so I've seen this many times. You know, parents will come in saying 3 months ago or 6 months ago, the breast started, but I don't think it's really increasing. And by the time they get in to see me, I can barely see it. And, you know, that happens. You can see a little bit of breast development and then it stops. And so what's important really in a way is to monitor the situation. And if you have a child where the breast development is clearly increasing over a period of 6 months, that's much more likely to represent a problem than a child who has a little bit of breast development and then it just sort of sits there. Another thing to point out is that We frequently see children who are like 2 years old, who've had breast development at a really early age, like maybe in the first year of life. And you might say, well, this must be a very rare situation. It's actually very common to see breast development starting under age 3, and it increases for a while, and then it levels off, and it may even go away. And we have a special term for that. We call it premature thelarchy, which is basically early breast development, which is not going to progress to full-blown precocious puberty. So when we see breast development in a child under age 3, it's almost always benign. And you might think, oh, my God, you know, breast development in a 3-year-old, it's going to, you know, they're going to have periods when they're in kindergarten. But that is extremely rare. So I'm sure in most cases, parents would want their children seen by a specialist, but they should be at least reassured that breast development under age 3 is rarely going to require any treatment. The number of times we see very young children, you know, under age 6, who really have a problem that needs treatment is not very often. Now, when you get to be in the 7 to 8-year-olds, that's sort of the tail end of the normal range. And so if you have a 7 to 8-year-old who has breast development, that's a little more likely to be the real thing. On the other hand, we very often don't treat that. Just because a girl is at 7.5 maybe going through puberty doesn't necessarily mean that they need medication to shut it down, and we can talk more about that. But sometimes we just need to kind of prepare the parents on what to expect. Because the good news is that once breast development really starts increasing, it usually takes at least 2 years from then to when kids start having periods. And so it's not like, you know, breast development and then a few months later they start having periods. So parents do have plenty of time to prepare their children.
Dr. Kaplowitz, you mentioned treatment. Would you tell us a little more about that?
The number of children with signs of early puberty who require treatment is relatively small. But if you have a girl who's showing progressive breast enlargement starting before age 8, we have to ask, is this something that we need to suppress? And there are two reasons for considering treatment in these situations. One is that some, but not most, of these children are at risk for ending up short. The reason being that if you start having your growth spurt when you're 7, you may be pretty much done growing by 10 or 11, whereas the average girl doesn't finish growing until they're 14. So theoretically, because you finish growing early, you could be short. But the reason why we don't actually see very many short children is because most girls who go through puberty early start out tall. So they're either at the upper end of the curve or they may be off the curve. So even if they stop growing early, that brings them into the normal range. The children who are at most risk of ending up short are girls who are going through puberty and are not tall. They may be in the low normal range in height. Those girls are at risk of being short. And that's one of those situations where we would want to check an X-ray of their hand and wrist to look at their bone maturation. So if you have a 7-year-old girl who has a bone maturation of a 10-year-old and she's not tall, that girl has a risk of ending up short, less than 5 feet tall. And that would be one situation where treatment might be indicated in order to turn off the growth spurt and to slow the rapid bone maturation.
And what is the treatment?
Treatment is basically with a modified version of the brain hormone that signals the pituitary gland to tell the ovaries to start producing estrogen. And this modified version can be administered by injection. The most common treatment is a monthly injection. So now there's a newer treatment, which is an implant. It's a similar medication, but it's in a little capsule that gets implanted under the skin that slowly releases medication for a whole year. So any of those treatments is effective, but as I point out, only a minority of children who are actually referred to specialists really need those treatments. The other reason for considering treatment is, and this is the one that parents most often bring up, they don't seem to be as concerned about the growth because kid looks tall, but the question of early menses. My feeling is that if you can predict that a child is not going to start their periods until 10, then probably that's early, but I think most kids cope pretty well. But if you would predict, let's say you have a 7-year-old who's already fairly, you know, far into puberty, that child is probably going to have their period before 9. And in that situation, a lot of parents say, well, I'm just not sure my child is going to cope with that very well. Some girls do, but many girls don't. And so a couple of years of treatment to put that off so that instead of having your periods at 9, it's delayed until 10 or 11 is often useful.
Now, wearing your hat in pediatrics, how would you say this kind of accelerated development actually affects the children?
It varies a great deal. First of all, in the early stages of puberty, the physical signs are not that obvious. I would say that most girls don't seem to be that fazed by the early breast development. I don't get the impression that there's a lot of teasing going on because an 8-year-old girl might have a little bit of breast development. I think that the part that girls are most affected by is when it leads to early periods. And in fact, most of the time, the early increase in the hormones of puberty doesn't have much effect on the child's behaviors. I think some girls simply don't want to have to deal with this. I saw a girl last week who was going through puberty. Actually, she was 9 and a half and had already had progressed to the point where she started having periods. And this was a girl who hadn't been to the pediatrician for a couple of years. So I think she had started the puberty at around age 7. But, you know, then 2 years later, you know, she shows up at the pediatrician's office and she's already having periods at 9 and a half. And she said, well, this is something that happens to, you know, to teenagers. It's not supposed to happen to me. So I think she just felt like she wasn't normal. Had I seen her a year ago, I probably would have said, yeah, you know, we might want to slow this down. But once it's already started and the child is starting to get used to the idea, I'm not sure how traumatic it is. The problem seems to be that in many cases it's the parents who are more upset than the children. So the child picks up on that and they get anxious too. But I think the best thing that the parents can do at that point is get one of the books that describes the changes that occur during puberty. There's, I think, the American Girl series has a very good book on, you know, preparing your child for a menarche. And I think that if the parents say, well, you know, this is a normal process, it happens to everybody for reasons that we don't understand, you seem to be developing at an earlier age than most, but you're still a healthy, normal girl, then that's very reassuring. If the parents can be reassuring, the child will do much better.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on early puberty.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Paul Kaplowitz about early puberty.
What do you think is responsible for this early development?
The studies which show earlier development seem to be more in the area of the first signs of puberty than the age at which girls actually start having periods. Multiple studies suggest that if there is an effect on the age at menarche, it's a relatively small effect. I would say the best estimates are that maybe in the 60s and 70s, the average age of menarche was about 12 and 3 quarters. And the more recent studies suggest that it's 12 and a half. So maybe a quarter of a year earlier in the United States. On the other hand, if you look at the earliest signs of puberty, breast development and pubic hair, those may be occurring as much as a year earlier than back in the 60s and 70s, although the truth is that we don't really have great data, and now it seems to be those earliest signs of puberty are occurring closer to age 10. A lot of people have tried to attribute this to chemicals in the environment. There's a lot of animal data which implicates these chemicals in earlier puberty in mice, but there are actually very few human studies that really clearly show whether any of these chemicals are involved. There's also some concern that hormones in meats, but none of that's really been confirmed in the United States. The most popular theory and the one that I have been subscribing to is that it's a consequence of the trend towards increasing obesity. There's a lot of data that shows that obesity has been increasing over the last 30 years. The number of children whose body mass index is above the 95th percentile, which is the definition of obesity, has tripled from the 70s to the mid-90s. And so the question is, how might that relate to puberty? Well, there's a hormone in fat tissue called leptin. Leptin, we know, has an important effect on regulation of appetite, but it also has an effect on the reproductive system. If you're very thin, you have very low leptin levels because leptin is a product of fat cells. And a certain amount of leptin seems to be required in order for puberty to progress. And the converse of that is that if you're overweight and you have high levels of leptin, that may be one of the factors allowing puberty to start at an earlier age. It doesn't seem to be the trigger, but it seems to be something that is required for puberty to progress. So one theory is that children now who are overweight are more likely to have high leptin levels and therefore start puberty early. And there are indeed many studies that show that girls who are thin have menarche somewhat later than girls who are normal weight who have puberty, and then the girls who are overweight tend to have puberty and menarche earlier. And so there is some evidence that that's a factor. Whether it's the whole story is something that we don't really know. And I'll give you as an example that there was a recent study published just this past year from Denmark, and they really cast doubts as to whether obesity is the primary problem. Yes, the obese girls seem to be maturing a little earlier, but they didn't feel that that by itself accounted for the fact that Danish girls are maturing earlier. If you want to talk about epidemics, there's an epidemic of obesity, but it's not nearly as severe in Denmark as it is in this country, and yet they are now seeing the same trend towards early breast development that we are in the U.S. So it kind of leaves you kind of hanging. Yes, there probably is a role of obesity, but something else is going on there, and who knows, it might be a chemical in the environment that we haven't really identified. So there's a lot of mystery.
What about boys?
In boys, it's kind of interesting. The definition of early puberty in boys is signs of puberty starting before age 9. And whereas there's been some dispute as to whether girls are maturing earlier, there really isn't a whole lot of hard evidence that boys now compared to 30, 40 years ago are maturing any earlier. We're not seeing a very large number of boys coming in for evaluation of early puberty. When we do see boys with early puberty, it's usually just the pubic hair and the body odor. And that really is the same situation as we talked about in girls. That's not real precocious puberty. That doesn't require treatment. So whatever seems to be affecting puberty, as best as we can tell, seems to preferentially be affecting girls. And I'm not saying that we never see boys with early puberty, but it's a much less common problem. When we do see it, it may be serious because early puberty in boys is less common. It seems to be more likely to represent some abnormal problem that might require treatment. And I should mention, for completeness, that in rare cases, early puberty can be due to a brain tumor. But that's, really quite rare. But, certainly any boy who starts having puberty before age 9 should be seen by a specialist just to make sure that there's no problems going on. But it's not something I see very often.
Well, our time with a specialist has run out, which is really unfortunate. But before we leave, are there any books besides Early Puberty in Girls or references as resources that you would recommend to our listeners?
The book that you referred to, which was published in 2004, is the only book out there that really is geared towards parents. Babycenter.com. That's a good resource. I would steer people away from websites that are maintained by pharmaceutical companies because, and I'm not saying that the information is necessarily inaccurate, but because they're maintained by the companies that produce the medications, they tend to focus more on the child that's going to need treatment. And there's a little bias there as to this might be a serious problem needing treatment. And I think parents would probably get more worried than reassured by going to those websites. a very, very common misconception that milk from cows that have been treated with bovine growth hormone to increase milk production is responsible for early puberty. There's no plausible scientific basis for that. It's one of these things that's on the internet, but there's no science behind it. So if parents encounter stuff like that, they should ignore it.
Well, Dr. Paul Kaplowitz, we are so grateful that you have been able to spend time with us today to talk about this disturbing situation of early puberty in girls. So thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Dr. Kaplowitz's book, The Short Child. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 417 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. While we can't offer you a free copy of Dr. Kaplowitz's book, Early Puberty in Girls, it is available on the internet.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the SF Foundation. We often thank individuals or organizations for generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents' Perspective. Parents Perspective Incorporated is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today it is our turn to thank you as well, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Donations can be made online through GiveDirect or iGive.com or MissionFish at eBay. Or you can send checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. Thank you for helping us continue to work for you. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.